Blog Talk Radio.
This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odell, here in our humble studio in East Central Alabama, right outside of Auburn, Alabama. We want to welcome you if you're listening tonight out there. Of course, in a few minutes, as we get into our subject tonight, you can call in, guest call-in number if you can't see it or you're on the phone somewhere. Our guest call-in number is 347-884-8566. Anyway, like I said, my name is Pastor Dean Odell. I pastor Fire and Grace Church here in the Auburn, Opelika area of Alabama, and also an author and minister of almost 27 years now. And the Lord spoke to me back in 2008 that it was time to get back into studying Bible prophecy again. I'd studied it a lot when I was a younger man, younger minister, and preached on it. Matter of fact, the first sermon I ever preached on in a church many years ago in 1987 was on Matthew 24 and the second coming of Jesus Christ. So as our title of our show, Prophecy Quake, we're about end-time prophecy here and really just about Jesus Christ. We don't hold anything back. We believe Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and that he's the only way to heaven. He died on that cross for our sins, that he rose again from the dead on the third day, that he is the King and Lord, that he is God manifested in the flesh, and that you have to believe in him, in the blood of his cross for forgiveness of sins. You have to repent and turn from your sins and become a disciple to have eternal life, to be born again. So we're not one of these seeker-sensitive ministries out here that's worried about hurting people's feelings when it comes to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But anyway, I hope that blesses you. But we're going to get right into the subject tonight because, of course, there's a lot of things going on in the world, and we're doing this because, you know, we do have a live broadcast of our Sunday morning service through Blog Talk Radio, but we also wanted to have a radio call-in show so people could call in and chat and ask questions, and so, again, we will definitely be open to that. You can call in at any time, and we'll get to you as soon as we can, but first of all, you know, everything, the big thing in the news today, of course, in the last few days has been Russia invading the Ukraine. And, of course, you know, our President Obama has made a little threat that, of course, there would be cost involved. But we all know that he's not going to do anything about it, really. But, of course, there's always more to what's going on behind the scenes than what we see. The Ukraine, we know it's really about energy. It's really about the oil supply and the new oil discoveries that's been discovered there. And it's just a battle between Putin and what he wants to do, Vladimir Putin of Russia, and what he wants to do and what the EU and NATO and the United States want to do. And so, anyway, but here's the bigger picture. Of course, the bigger picture is, what does the Bible say about Russia and what about Bible prophecy. And so, you know, what to me is amazing is that we know that Russia was spoken about by the prophet Ezekiel, and I believe also in the book of Revelation, and we're going to get into that. And that's really what we need to look at is why these things are happening, not just what is happening, but the real reason. And the Bible's always been clear. Bible prophecy to me is one of the most amazing things of Scripture. And a lot of people, you know, let me just take a little side note here. A lot of people ask me or they make the comment, you know, why do you even get into this? What does it add to our salvation, you know, about believing in Jesus and being a Christian? But I want to tell you, this is exactly the answer to that question. God didn't waste any space, time, or waste any of his words in the Bible. And if he didn't want us to read and study and know what's going to happen in the future and know when the days of his coming were approaching and when we'd be entering the last days, then he shouldn't have put it all these signs and all these things to look for in there. So I believe, though, that these things, seeing how specific Bible prophecy is and seeing how the world and current events over really the last century have been shaping up in great detail to fulfill what God spoke about in Revelation, which is almost 2,000 years ago, and then like Prophet Daniel and Ezekiel were going back 2,700 years ago, and down to things that are very, very specific that are happening now, letting us know that we are drawing very near to what Jesus said would be the time of great trouble or the time of great tribulation, the years that would lead up to the last years, and you know, some say the last 7 years, the last 3.5 years. I'm just going to call it all seven, the last 7 years of the great tribulation, even though it's really referring to the last 3.5 years. But I'm just going to call it that because that's what most people understand. But Jesus let us know, and these prophets let us know, that we can know that we are in that season and about to enter into that time leading up to the time of great trouble, great persecution, many things of one world government that the Bible foretold, and we see that beginning to form. The Bible spoke about Russia and other countries that would be involved, even Iran, which is called Persia in the Bible. We're going to look at those things. But the Bible is very specific, and we can look at these things, and as Christians, if you're a born-again Christian, if you love Jesus and you're walking with him and you're on fire for God, studying these things and hearing preaching about end-time prophecy and how they're how it's coming to pass should encourage you and build your faith in the Bible. It shouldn't be something that you don't want to hear. If you don't want to hear about what God is doing and what God has spoken and how amazing the Bible is being fulfilled, if you don't hear that, there's something wrong in your heart. You've got an issue that you need to deal with. I'm finding that, you know, a lot of people, they don't want to hear it because they have their own plans, their own desires, their own idols in their lives, and they really will tell you. I mean, some Christians, I've heard them say it, and they said it to me, I really don't want Jesus to come back right now. So, anyway, it should be a desire of our heart to see Jesus come back. And for those that are not saved or those who are backslidden or just been around church, what I'm discovering is they see how God spoke certain things 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, and how they're coming to pass now. I'm seeing many people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they're really beginning to, their lives are beginning to change. And so, anyway, to me, for the church and for Christianity, it's one of the most powerful tools of evangelism that's being neglected by the weak-kneed, seeker-sensitive church that's out there. And let's just look at this. We're going to find, we're going to look into the book of Ezekiel first about Russia. And so, you know, what would be good is if you're aware, you can either look up your, you can look up in the Bible Ezekiel chapters in here, and I'm going to give you some historical background so you can know that the Bible foretold the rise of Russia in the last days, foretold the rise of Russia being on the move, and it's foretold that Russia would partner with Persia or Iran, and that they would eventually form a coalition and come against Israel in the last days. Now, this is in the book of Ezekiel. It's in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and we're going to look at that, and then I'm going to give you some historical background so you can know that that this is Russia we're talking about, since we're looking at what's going on with them. But anyway, Ezekiel chapter 38, this is what the Word says, what the Bible says here, and this is the prophet going back 600 or so B.C. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy faith against God, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against them. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shields and helmets. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years, or in the end times, or the last days, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them." Now, here's something interesting, too. Of course, this was written long before there were airplanes. It says, "Thou shalt ascend, arise up into the sky, and come like a storm in the air, and thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. And thus saith the Lord God, It shall come to pass that at that time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up into the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take spoil and to take prey, to turn thy hand upon the desolates that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take the prey, to carry away silver and gold, and to take away cattle and goods, and to take great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto God, Thus saith the Lord God, In the day that when my people Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it, and thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts. And if you look north of Israel, straight up, you keep going, you run into Russia. He says, You shall come out of your place in the north parts, and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses and a great company and a mighty army, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel, as thou shalt, as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, and before their eyes." Now, I'm just going to, I read a good bit there, but we know, and a lot of you already know, that the Bible speaks of here, this is what's called the War of Gog and Magog here. Now, there's been a lot of debate, and there's still people that debate, that Gog and Magog, some people say that it is Great Britain or it is England. I don't agree with that because there's just too much evidence to point the other way. Now, let me just give you the reasons why we believe, and a lot of people do agree. A lot of Bible scholars and a lot of preachers do agree that Gog and Magog, or Gog of Magog, is Russia. But one of the reasons for that is that if you look at the map, we know the old maps going back to the 1800s, we know that Togarmah, or the house of Togarmah in the north, was Turkey. And so we know if you keep going north, you come to the Black Sea. And then, of course, above that is Russia. And, of course, that's what is in dispute right now. That's where this thing is going to town here between Russia and the Ukraine. So this is a very important area, speaking about the Russian and this end time issue here. So let's look at this. Let's see. It says here, and I'm just going to give you some of the reasons. So how, you know, how do we know that Russia is God and Magog? Well, the Roman historian, a Jewish historian, rather, back in the first, early second century, Josephus, gives us an important clue in his 20-volume classic, Antiquities of the Jews. And he wrote of the descendants of Noah, and this is what he said. This is straight from it. He said, after they were dispersed abroad on account of their languages and went out by colonies everywhere, and each colony took possession of that land which God led them, Magog founded those that from him were named Magogites, but who were by the Greeks called Scythians. Now, the Encyclopedia Britannica says, a Scythian is a member of a nomadic people originally of Iranian stock who migrated from Central Asia to southern Russia in the 8th and 7th centuries B.C. It goes on to say that Scythians founded a rich, powerful empire that survived for several centuries. Now, this is confirmed also by New York Times bestselling author Joel C. Rosenberg when he was in Russia in 2004 doing research for his book, The Ezekiel Option. This is what he wrote. He said, so while we were in Moscow, we toured the State Historical Museum. Sure enough, as we spent several hours walking the floors of the enormous red brick building facing Red Square, we found in a glass case after glass case numerous Scythian artifacts dug up by Russian archaeologists and anthropologists, and all on display in the Russian equivalent of our Smithsonian. Not only was the Russian Scythian heritage real, as we learned, but the Russian government was proud to let the whole world know. So when we look at this and we look at these ancient historians and we look at even the archaeological history of where the Magogites or the Scythians settled, it was in Russia. And Russia is very proud of that. So we know that Gog and Magog here, Magog is Russian, Gog would be the chief prince. Now, I'm just going to be very blunt and honest about what I believe. I believe that Vladimir Putin is God. And the Bible says, as we look at Ezekiel 38:39, God spoke about he would put a hook in his jaw and bring him down. I believe the hook in his jaw is this energy issue, the oil issue, that he wants Russia to have its stake in the Baltic region there in the Ukraine. Whoever controls the Ukraine will control a great amount of oil and natural gas and how it transfers to Europe. And it's critical whoever controls that will control Europe and control most of the world. So then we discover, you know, we see what the Bible says, that he will come on down at some point. Come on down and join with Iran and the other Arab nations that surround Israel, and he will join with them and attack Israel. Well, of course, we know that there's been great oil and gas discoveries now in Israel and off the coast of Israel in the Mediterranean Sea, and we see something that's never happened before in the history of the world, in the history of Russia. We see that the Russians, just a few years ago, under Vladimir Putin, became allies with the Iranians and helped them with the development of their nuclear technology, helped them build nuclear power plants. And, of course, this issue of the Iranians having nuclear power plants, you know, it'd be one thing if they could be trusted to just make you know, them power plants, but we know that they're pursuing a nuclear weapon to make nuclear bombs. And, of course, with their radical Muslim stance that they have, their radical Islam stance, they've stated plainly that they want to wipe Israel off the map. So when you have somebody saying they want to wipe you off the map and they're trying to develop nuclear weapons, it should tend to make someone a little nervous, especially when we know that radical Islam will do just about anything to further their beliefs and their cause. So anyway, it's unprecedented in the history of man that now we see, to see this joining of work between Russia and Iran, who used to be called, up until about 1934, they were called Persia. And so they still inhabit the land called Persia and Elam. And so anyway, this is something so specific. And, you know, I just have to add this little point before we take any callers, and we will take a caller in just a second here. Just be patient with me as we set this up here. As we set this up here, I just want to say that, you know, back, I remember, you know, it was easy for people to believe that Russia could be part of a coalition to attack Israel and maybe even start World War III and the war foretold in Revelation 9. But a lot of people, you know, that was easy to believe in the Cold War era, you know, when this tension was going on between the United States and Russia, and the Soviet Union was trying to expand communism and their beliefs throughout the world, and the United States was fighting that. And, you know, many proxy wars like Vietnam and Korea and other places. And so, you know, I mean, it was easy to see that. But when the Soviet Union fell apart in the late 80s and early 90s, and they dismantled, and everyone said the Cold War was over. And so many people, of course, there's always people out there always looking for an excuse to not believe the Bible or to come against the Bible. And so when there was friendly relations between the United States and Russia, and the Iron Curtain came down, and then, of course, the Berlin Wall came down in 1989, there was all this belief that, what's that Old Testament prophecy about Russia in the last days and that Russian bear rising up and causing problems in the world? Oh, that's just, you know, that's just fiction. That's just fantasy. And, you know, hey, it took a little over 20 years. But anyone who knew any truth, who believed, first of all, if you believe the Bible, it's always going to be right. The Bible prophecies are always going to be right. They're always going to come to pass. Even if they look like it's going the complete other direction, they're going to turn around, things are going to change. And sure enough, you know, if you knew that all the Soviet leaders did was took off their communist uniforms and put on business suits, and that's pretty much all they did. And, you know, Vladimir Putin was the KGB chief, KGB colonel. I mean, you don't have to really stretch very far to go, you know, we can see that he's building back the Russian Empire again, the old Soviet Empire with the old Soviet communistic mentality. And so we see with what he's doing in the Ukraine ought not to be a surprise to anyone, especially if you believe the Bible and you know Bible prophecy. It's like, no, this is no big surprise here. So I hope that that kind of shows the picture there of where we're headed. I can't say, and I'm going to be very honest, I can't say if this thing is going to trigger a broader war or not. It may calm down. There may be a diplomatic solution. But even if that does happen, this is a warning shot across the bow that Russia is not afraid of Europe. They're not afraid of the United States. Today, even they test-fired a Topol ICBM. I find it interesting that they would test-fire that and of course, show the accuracy that they have with those missiles. And it's interesting. Now, here's the thing. You know, we know that the Bible says Revelation 9 is very clear that the sixth trumpet, when the sixth trumpet judgment is blown, that is a war that will kill one-third of mankind by fire. Now, there's no other way that can happen except by a nuclear war happening in the world. Now, there will be, I just have to tell you, the Bible, I believe, is very clear, not just there and other places, but that there will be a limited nuclear war. It won't wipe out the entire planet. It won't kill everyone. but there's going to be a massive war that's going to have to include Russia and China and very possibly parts of the United States. So, you know, it doesn't sound like good news, of course. Everybody says, well, if you preach the gospel, it all ought to be good news. Well, I'm sorry, I've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and it's not always good news. And that's why, hey, if you're listening out there and you're getting a little nervous or there's fear in your heart about these things, just remember this. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. Meaning if you fear God enough to believe that he means what he says, that there will be a judgment day, and that God is going to judge the wicked, he is going to judge sin, but that he is a God of mercy because he died on that cross and shed his blood so that you could be forgiven. And all he wants you to do is confess your sin and turn away from it and trust Jesus and walk with Jesus and he'll forgive you. But you have to understand that he will fulfill his word. And so the fear of God just simply means, hey, I know that regardless of my decisions, God will keep his word. He will keep his promises. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and he means business, and he will judge the wicked. But if it puts the other kind of fear in your heart, where you get tormented and afraid, maybe there's something you need to examine in your heart, and maybe it's time to either deal with that, confess it, and bind that spirit of fear and resist it and cast it away from you, and believe that Jesus is your refuge, that really in him you can have peace. You can have peace in the storm. You can have the anointing. You can have the glory of God. You can have a refuge. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, there's going to be people, good people, godly people who are martyrs. That's happening in the Middle East right now in a very big way. There will be good people who die in the wars that are coming. But just know this, that for the believer, for the Christian, for the born-again person who really knows Jesus, you know, the Bible even says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So even if it's your time to go be with him, it's still not a time to fear, that there's nothing that's going to happen to you that's not been filtered through his hands and through his will if you're walking with him. So don't let fear rule your heart. I mean, I really mean that. Don't let it rule your heart. And, you know, again, with these things, you say, well, some of these things are scary. Well, yeah, they are. Hey, but I don't want everyone out there to know I don't talk about these things lightly. You know, I have children. I have a young one. I have a 4-year-old little girl, and I have 2 older girls. And I don't like the thought of, you know, where the world's headed. But we can either stick our head in the sand, or we can look at what the Bible says, and we can look at what's going on in the world, and we can connect the dots, and we can get our heads out of the sand and become people who pray and people who prepare ourselves spiritually, emotionally, physically, and prepare to do the very best we can for our family, for our church, for our community, because bad stuff's coming. And, you know, our show here is called Prophecy Quake, and I want to say this. We're not just about the prophecy that's in the Bible. God is still speaking today through the gift of prophecy, through dreams and visions. And I can't tell you how many dreams and visions that people have shared with me that God has been giving them about what's coming on America. So, we'll get into some of that here in just a few minutes, but we're going to take a break for just a minute. I'm going to get a little drink here, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. But if you want to call in and ask a question, please do. You'll talk to Kevin. He's our assistant here, producer, whatever you want to call it, call screener, elder of the church, in the church, and kind of our tech guy and jack of all trades, and you'll talk to him first. But anyway, you can call in just a few minutes, and we'll talk about this. But I'm going to show you in another place in just a second where the Bible foretold Russia being involved in the last days. So anyway, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Vials of wrath, the seven vials of God's wrath, happened in the last 3.5 years. So that's the only one that tells us. So if you try to say that these things happen in sequential order all in the last 7 years, you're assuming something. You're speculating because the Bible does not say that. And if you think it does, then please you can call in and inform me where it says that the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven vials of wrath are all open in the last 7 years. Matter of fact, I'll show you that they overlap one another. But let's just look at Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to read about the seals real quick, and then I'm going to show you that we see a picture of these of Russia. And I want to say something. I remember when I read this, when I was a young man back in the late 80s, reading the Bible, studying the Bible for the first time seriously, I saw this even then. Now, there was one I didn't see, and that was a brother that helped me see what the other horse was. But let's look at this. This is Revelation chapter 6. And the reason we're going to read all of this is because I want you to see that the seals tell the story all the way to the second coming of Jesus. By the time we get to the sixth seal, you see the second coming of Jesus that's spelled out exactly the same way it is in Matthew 24. And we may turn there and read that as well. But this, you'll see it, the story, all the way to the second coming. And then the trumpet, the seven trumpets, tell the story in a different way all the way to the second coming. And they overlap one another. And once you understand that, you can understand the book of Revelation. Until it doesn't make a lot of sense, because how at the sixth seal do we have the sun going dark, the moon not giving off its light, the stars and the powers of heaven falling to the earth, and the Son of Man coming, and every island being moved out of its place, every mountain being moved, and the kings of the earth and the rich men and the great men, they're running to hide themselves from the wrath of the Lamb. They see him. They're running to hide from him. So that is the second coming of Jesus. So how do you have the second coming of Jesus at the sixth seal, and yet you still got seven trumpets to happen and seven vials of wrath? It has to overlap. They have to overlap one another, or it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So let's just read it, and then we'll define who some of these things are, who some of these people are in this passage. And it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of the thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard a second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard the voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. See that thou hurt not the oil and the wine.' And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse." But as we'll see, actually, the word there in the Greek is chloros, which means green horse. "But he said, 'I saw a green horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?' And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand? And you say, well, how do you know that that's the second coming? Well, if you go back to Matthew 24, and just turn there if you have your Bibles. I'm actually turning in a Bible. I'm doing it old school tonight instead of just looking it up on the computer. But Matthew 24, this is where, in Matthew 24, of course, in verse 3, it says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, Jesus there sat there. The disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And then Jesus begins to give them this chronological order. Take heed no man deceive you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And he starts giving them this list. He says, these are the beginning of sorrows. In verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And then verse 9, he says, then. So he gives, then means after this. So he gives he's given a chronological account here. It's very clear. He's giving a chronological outline. When we go all the way over to verse 29, and this is after the abomination of desolation. I mean, this is after the Antichrist has appeared. Verse 21 says, there shall be great tribulation since there was not since the beginning of this world. So we get over here, and in verse 29, we see this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. So does that mean before? Or after? After. So this is toward the end of the tribulation. He says, after the tribulation, or at the end of the tribulation, of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. That's that groaning, the rich men, and what we just read in Revelation 6. Saying, oh, God, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. He said, all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man, Jesus, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven even to the other. So, again, and this ought to tell you something, what I believe about the rapture of the church is at this time, there's not a rapture before the tribulation. I don't even mind debating that with you if you want to debate it. But the bottom line is the outline Jesus gave, it was immediately after. It was at his second coming. And so anyway, we're reading this, but you see there, it's very clear. The same thing described in the sixth seal in Revelation 6, the sun goes dark, the moon does not give off its light, turns like blood. The stars fall from heaven, the powers of heaven are shaken, and the tribes of the earth and the rich men and the rulers and the mighty men all begin to groan and moan because they see the Son of Man coming and they know the day of his wrath has come. So Revelation 6, the sixth seal, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. So if it's seven seals and then seven trumpets and then seven vials of wrath all in the last 7 years, how can that work? It just doesn't work. So you understand that they overlap. So that, now that we understand that the only thing we know, the only set of sevens we know is the seven vials happened in the last 7 years, then we can realize that maybe, just maybe, these seals and these trumpets, some of them have already happened, and we're getting really close to the second coming of Jesus. Well, I believe that we see that, and I believe what these horses are spirits that are turned loose in the earth. Now, if you're looking at your Bible and you want to turn there, Zechariah 6 is the scripture passage where Zechariah has a similar vision that John's had, not exactly the same, but very similar, and he sees some horses too, and he sees some white horses and some red horses and some black horses and some strange bay, what's called baying grizzled horses or whatever, but he sees them pulling chariots, and he turns and he asks the Lord or the angel that was there, he said, what are these? And the Lord spoke and said, these are spirits gone forth spirits of the heavens gone forth into the earth. So these four horsemen of the apocalypse, they are spirits. They are, and I believe, evil spirits that have gone forth, similar to Revelation 6, gone forth, these evil spirits have gone forth to influence or bring about a certain issue that they want to do to destroy mankind, to bring mankind under the control of Satan and his final world dictator, the Antichrist, and that these spirits are working in different groups of people to bring about an ideology, a belief system, to bring about a certain part of the plan. Now, let's look at it. The first one is the white horse, and it says he has a crown on his head and he has a bow, and he goes forth, going forth to conquer. Well, I believe, and people can disagree if they want to disagree, but I believe very firmly that this spirit, this white horse spirit, is the spirit that's trying to mimic or trying to be in the place of Jesus Christ in the church, but on the evil side. And we see this white horse, and I believe that this white horse going forth to conquer has been this move ever since God dispersed Satan's plan at the Tower of Babel, and where Nimrod had the evil plan to bring together the world under a religion, a pagan, idolatrous, occultic religion, and to bring together both government and religion into a one-world government, a one-world religion that was against God, that was against the true God. They would have their own God. And so God came down and divided their languages and scattered them. But ever since then, the devil's been working to bring about that one-world government, that one-world religion. And so there's a lot of entities you see trying to bring that about. Of course, these colors are very significant because let's look at it. He says this horse is a white, this white horse. Well, let's look at some of the entities that are trying to bring about a world government. First of all, let's look at the UN. It's going to be the mechanism that's used to be the world government. They're going to change and transform some things, but they're from their inception, it's always been about becoming a world government. Well, the UN vehicles, what color are they? They're white. Of course, they have light blue in their flag, but their vehicles are white. And then, of course, another entity that we're going to get into in the days ahead in episodes that are coming is we're going to talk about the Roman Catholic Church and the place that they play in all of this. But they're part of this white horse as well. I mean, I could give you quote after quote after quote. Matter of fact, I do in the book that I published in June of 2012, The Polluted Church from Rome to Kansas City. I give a very detailed and a very documented account of how the popes, especially in the last several decades, many of the popes, all of them leading up to now, have pushed for a one-world government through the UN and, of course, them being intricately involved in that process. And, of course, what color does the pope wear? White. What color is the pope mobile? White. What color is the helicopter? Why? What color is the plane? Why? You get what I'm saying? There's other entities like the Council on Foreign Relations. And, you know, it's interesting that they're a group of people in the United States, but they're not just United States people, but the Council on Foreign Relations, the Illuminati-controlled, banker-controlled, global elite-controlled people. I mean, their symbol is a white horse with a rider on it. I mean, it's almost scary how obvious it is. But they're all pushing to bring the world together, to unite the world under a one-world government and under a religion that accepts anything and everything, all right, so that you accept for saying Jesus Christ is God Almighty and the only way to heaven. That gets you in trouble with this group. But then the next horse, and this is something that's very important, this is where I think we see where the world's going. These are spirits. And the next spirit, he said, is the red horse. And the rider on that horse is given a great sword. Well, I think this is very clear that this red horse is communism. I mean, what do they call the area in Moscow there? They call it Red Square, right? What is the other communist, big communist country? Red China. right? What color dominates their flag? Red. What does it represent? Communism, socialism, right? Tyranny, dictatorship. Here's what's interesting. It says that the rider on the red horse was given a great sword. Not just a sword, but a great sword, right? Well, what's a great sword? What's the greatest weapon that mankind has now? Is it nuclear weapons? Well, both Russia and China possess nuclear weapons. Isn't it interesting that both Russia and China are unified in this issue with the Ukraine, which poses great problems for the United States? I mean, really, can you think that the United States could win a war against Russia and China? Not going to happen. How about Russia and China and the Islamic world all united together? Not looking good for the old U.S. of A. If they all decide to turn on us, and I have news for you, they have. It's just a matter of time. The clock is ticking. And frankly, we don't have a president that's going to do anything about it. It's just going to let it happen. But anyway, we see a picture here. So I've given you, and I'm trying to lay out something. I've given you Ezekiel 38, an old prophecy, 2,600 years, 2,700 years ago, where it talked about Russia, Magog. We've shown you how that is Russia, would join with Persia, and they will eventually come and attack Israel. And then we've shown you here that one of these spirits that have gotten control of the earth and brought about much death and destruction and war and taken peace from the earth is this red spirit that I believe very clearly represents the birth and the development and the mayhem of communism and socialism. I mean, even going to the Nazis, I mean, their colors, red, was very involved in their arena of doing things. So anyway, you get those pictures. So I just wanted to show you that's two right there. Now, if you go to Daniel chapter 7, of course, Daniel 7 talks about there were these four kingdoms that would be on the earth in the last days. And until you got this fourth beast that was dreadful and terrible and worse than all the others and different from all the others. But he says the first beast that he saw was a lion that had eagle's wings, and he watched the lion until the eagle's wings were plucked. And then he said he saw the next beast was a bear that had three ribs in its mouth, and it was said to that bear, arise and devour much flesh. And then he said he saw a leopard with four heads and that had two sets of wings on its back. And then he said he saw, that right after that, he saw a beast that was dreadful and terrible that had seven heads and, you know, had 10 horns. And of course, we know the 10 horns represented 10 kings. And it said they trampled and were terrible beyond anything else. So we know that these represent some type of king or kingdom. Well, we know that there is a kingdom on the earth who at once, it said, the sun never set on their empire, and that was Great Britain. And their symbol is a lion. Look on their flag going all the way back many years, it's a lion. They said that lion, though, had eagle's wings until the eagle's wings were plucked out of it. There's a country that has the symbol of an eagle. Well, that would be the United States of America. Where did we come out of? England. So our wings were plucked out of that, so we came out of England. But the next thing he said after that, he saw a bear. And that bear raised itself up and had three ribs in it and said, go devour much flesh. And that right there, folks, is a picture of, I believe, the communist revolution in China, the Bolshevik Revolution 1917 in Russia, when the czars were overthrown, and communism and that spirit, that evil spirit, that red spirit, took over Russia and killed millions of people. I mean, we don't even know how many people, for real. I mean, it's into the hundreds of millions of people that were slain, Christians and non-Christians and anybody who wouldn't go along with the new system, both economic system and political system, and it was very anti-God, very anti-Christianity, and that Spirit took over as it began to grow over the next several decades from 1917. It nearly took over more than half the world. But that spirit, one thing about evil spirits is they don't go away. They may get subdued, they may get pushed back or pushed down, but their ideology, it never goes away. So we see a picture in the Bible very clear, given to us three ways, by the ancient people that founded the region of Russia, the Magogites or the Scythians. We see it depicted as a rider on a red horse, and we know the color of communism in Russia has been red. And we see it, of course, as this bear. And, of course, we know that the symbol of Russia, everybody knows about the Russian bear. And, you know, I'm going to share this. My brother, my brother and I, we both, and I'm talking about my real brother, Alan, who lives over in Georgia. Both of us, ever since we've come back to the Lord and filled with the Holy Spirit, that God has given us prophetic visions and prophetic words and prophetic revelation and prophetic dreams. And of course, this is foretold in the book of Acts chapter 2, where Peter quotes Joel and he says, "In the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And he said, "Your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams, and all my handmaidens." And he says, "I will pour out my spirit." And he said, "They will prophesy." And he said, you know, "And then there will be a time coming, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." And so the Lord's revealed certain things. But just a few weeks ago, I think it was on February the 9th, I think he told me. But anyway, and he'll call me every now and then. He said, "I had this dream," and he had a dream about a grizzly bear rising up, and a black bear, I think it was, maybe not a grizzly, but a big black bear rising up and becoming very ferocious. Now, this is before Russia invaded the Ukraine, and I believe, and he contacted me and we discussed it, because back in 2008 I also had a dream about two bears, one a baby bear and one a big mama bear. But the Lord showed me that had to do with the coming economic collapse, because the Lord told me that in the dream that baby bear was the financial collapse of 2008, and that mama bear that was coming would be the crash that there would be no recovery from, would be far, far worse. So I told him when we talked on the phone, I said, "Well, it's either Russia making a move is coming, Russia doing something, or it's the economic collapse that's about to happen in the United States and to change the global economy." I said, "Or it's both." And it could be both. And so I believe God is revealing through his word and prophetically through his people that we are drawing near to the time we're going to see the Russian bear make his moves. And so don't even think for a second that this is over. Matter of fact, as I began to share some of my prophetic dreams and visions and things that God has been giving me over the last several years, I started doing a little research, and I'd never heard of this prophet, but a guy named Henry Gruver. Some of you may know about him, but God used him in prophecy, and I think he's still around. From what I've heard, I think he's still around, a bit older than us, but God gave him prophetic visions and dreams and revelations about Russia attacking the United States of America, about he saw the submarines, the Russian submarines launching nuclear missiles and hitting cities. And I found him after I had a vision on December the 7th in 2011, where God just showed me very clearly the east and the west coast of the United States being hit very hard, many cities being destroyed on the east and west coast. And it wasn't a pretty picture. So the Lord is definitely warning his people, and that's why we decided to take it up a notch, Fire and Grace Church, Dean Odell Ministries. And we decided that it was time to take it up a notch to do this radio program every way we can, you know, through books, through podcasts, through Facebook, through web, through preaching, through, you know, conferences and seminars, not because we think we're anything, but there is a burden upon me and upon our church that we want the people to be warned. There's not going to be a lot of time to repent for some people. A lot of people see they run around thinking that they're going to have time to get right with God. They're going to have time, you know, to do what they need to do, to ask Jesus to forgive them and finally get the sexual sin out of their life or the pornography out of their life or the drinking and the alcohol or the pills or the drugs or, you know, I'll have time. You know, God understands. He knows how, you know, how it is. But there's going to be a day coming that for many, many, there won't be a warning. There won't be another chance. There won't be a second chance. Many are going to vanish in a moment. And isn't this what God warned us? See, he said he would come like a thief in the night. Now, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said he'd come like a thief in the night, but not to those who were children of the day, who were watching, who were paying attention. The ones that are going to be caught by surprise are the lukewarm, the compromised, the ones who don't want to hear it, the ones who want to have their, you know, they want to have their boo on the side, they want to have their affair, they want to have their, you know, sleep with their girlfriend or boyfriend every weekend and pop in at church and sing in the choir and feel good about themselves. Or, you know, read the Bible or whatever, but they don't want to really, really turn loose of the sin. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be very honest today. I was thinking there's a friend of mine that I grew up with that I dearly love. We were close friends. And I'm just realizing he doesn't get it. Does he believe in God? Yeah, he believes in God. He believes in Jesus. He posts things on his Facebook, you know, about God, and he likes my stuff, and he'll post something about the Lord and or the Bible, and I'll like his stuff. But I'm realizing I'm watching him still go to the bars, still party, still drink, still, you know, with his girlfriend every other day, every other week. And I'm just realizing that, you know, there's a lot of people in America. Well, people who think they're Christians, people who think they're ready, and they're not ready. They're not even close to being ready. They don't even understand what the word repent means. They think they've got the Joel Osteen, the Rick Warren, the, you know, just believe, and if you just believe and you pray the prayer, you're okay, you're good for all eternity, and that's just a lie from the pit of hell. There's so many people that are not ready. They're not ready to face the judgments that are going to fall on America. They're not ready to face death. You know, the Bible's very clear. Hebrews 9:27 says it. It says, it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, let me back up and say, look, children, they die. Young children under the age of accountability, and it's different for every child, they're going to go to heaven immediately. But for those who reach the age of accountability, those who knew right from wrong, those who heard and understood and knew and went against their conscience, they're going to stand before God, and they're going to give an account. And if you lived in sin, if you lived a sinful lifestyle of sexual immorality, drugs, drunkenness, alcohol, idolatry, bowing to Mary. I'm just going to be straight up. Bowing to Mary, praying to Mary, praying to saints. It's not Bible. It's idolatry. You are not headed to heaven living a lifestyle of those sins. This is clear. Revelation 21:6-8 makes it very clear. But the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars, shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, frankly, I'm going to be very honest. I'm sick and tired of preachers and churches and TV preachers and Christians. They say, that's too mean, that's too hard, that's too this, that. Listen, our job is to warn people. Our job is to preach the truth. I'm not here to be Oprah for you. I'm not here to be Dr. Phil. I'm not here to try to make you feel good about yourself while you live in rebellion and wickedness to God. That's not the job of a preacher. The job of a preacher is to call you out of darkness, out of sin, out of selfishness, out of idolatry, out of deception, out of lukewarmness, out of a fake, weak, beaten down Christianity, and say, hey, it's time to confess your sins, to turn from them, and to truly let Jesus Christ come in and transform your life before you die, or before the judgments of God fall, or before the nuclear bombs fall, or before the biological attack, or before the terrorist attack. You know, I think about 9/11, the World Trade Center, the people who got up that morning and went to work thinking it was going to be like every other day, that they were going to go to their job, they were going to do their job the best they could, they were going to, you know, go to the water cooler and cut up and laugh and flirt with that girl and flirt with that guy. And you know, they were just going to, you know, do the things that they normally do, go to lunch. And you know what? They didn't even make it to lunch that day. Those planes hit the building, and people died immediately. People burned to death. People jumped to their death to escape the flames of the World Trade Center towers. And we know 3,000 people died. How many of them were ready? How many of them were ready to stand before God and give an account for how they lived their life? You see, folks, it's not what the Pope says. The Pope says that even atheists can go to heaven if they do good works. That is a devil's talk. There's no good work that can wash your sins away. There is no good work you can do to make God say, you're okay, no matter what you believe, no matter what you've done. No, you have to come to the only sacrifice, the only way God Almighty provided, and that is through the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to come to him. You have to take it seriously. You have to be washed in the blood. You have to be born again, a supernatural experience. And you get that supernatural experience when you say, Lord, I give up my sin, my ways, my plans, my lust, my idols, the world and all the worldliness and filth that's in it. I give it up. I don't want it. I want you. I want your will. I want your blood to cleanse. I want a new life. I want to walk a new road. I want a real relationship with the God who created me. That is what this is about. These warnings, these prophecies in the Bible warning us of great destruction and great distress and wars and nuclear wars and famine and pestilence and earthquakes and tsunamis and disasters. These things, God is warning us. He's letting us know it's coming to a close. I'm bringing this whole thing to a close. And I'm giving you a warning, really a nice long warning over the last 100 years or so. He is warning with all these prophecies being fulfilled. Israel becoming a nation again in 1948. Israel taking Jerusalem in 1967 so that the prophecies could be fulfilled. Russia now coming down and beginning to work with Persia or Iran. You can't get more specific than this. Revelation 13, God talking about in the end, there will be a day when no man will be able to buy or sell unless they take a mark of something in their hand. So something in your hand or in your forehead, something put there would be able to control whether you could buy or sell. That couldn't have happened until the internet, until satellites, until computer microchips. None of that could have happened. So we have entered into the era that now it is possible to put a RFID chip in your hand that can have all this information and be scanned, even at a distance, can be scanned and can hold bank account numbers. People are already doing this. They're already using this technology in stores. Folks, we couldn't have more specific. And people want to sit around and laugh at all the Bible's fiction. Really? No, you're fiction. You live in a fictional world of your own imagination. If you think the Bible's fiction, it is detailed, my friend. It is specific. It is clear. It is everything in it warning you, warning you, warning you. God is real. He demands righteousness and holiness. He will judge the wicked. He will judge the sinner. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is eternal reward with Jesus in heaven, or there is eternal punishment in the lake of fire and the damnation of hell forever. There is a reality here, and God has proven it again and again and again and again. So I guess, I mean, maybe I'm preaching to the choir out there. I don't even know who's listening out there. And we do know people, many people are listening to this archive and the podcast here on Blog Talk. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. All of this stuff, you know, I don't know, we could sit here all night and I could go through the prophecies of the Bible. It's just to get your attention. It's to get your attention to turn to Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. People, a lot of people like to quote, you know, Romans 10:9, you know, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Here's the thing I say about that. A lot of people say, oh, Jesus, believe, and you're okay. No. Notice what it says. At Romans 10:9, you know what it says? That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. If you say with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, but you don't do the things that he says, you are a liar. Let me give you another verse that's hard to stomach. 1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know him. Speaking of Jesus. He that says, I know Jesus, but keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. This is how serious this is. You say, do I have to do good works? No. You have to obey God. I love this. You know, people say, well, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. You know, you're saved by grace through faith. Grace is what God does. Faith is what you do, right? Faith. Faith without what? James said it. Faith without works or corresponding actions is dead, being alone. So if you're saved by God's grace, meaning God did what you could not do. He died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. He did what you can't do. That's great. He made a way. He provided it, his own sinless blood. He provided the way for forgiveness and eternal life. But it's received and it's kept through faith. But faith that's alive and living and powerful has corresponding actions that go along with it. But I tell somebody all the time, they say, well, we're not saved by work, good works. No, guess what? You can't give to the poor and get and be saved. You can't even give your body to be burned. But let me ask you this. How is not committing adultery a work? How is not doing something a work? If I sit on my butt and I do not commit adultery, how am I working? See, this is what I don't get. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not make any graven image to bow down to it, Pope Francis. You hear what the word says, the commandments, the Big Ten. Now, they changed it in their Bible, of course, but the real Bible says don't make any graven images to bow down to it. That's in the Big Ten. The point is, it's not a work for me to not bow down. It's actually a work for me to go walk up to a statue of Mary and bow down to it. That's a work, but that's a work of the flesh. That's a work of sin. That's a work of evil. And guess what? The wages of sin is death. Eternal death. So, not doing something is not a work. You know, I love it. Adam and Eve were put in the Garden of Eden and told not to eat of one tree. Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One tree. All they had to do was not walk over there and pick it and bite it and chew it and swallow it. They were actually working to sin. Oh, come on now. If we were in church, I'd have to have an amen right there. Somebody has to say amen. Y'all ain't got me preaching. Well, we're going to take a break. I'll let you think about that for a minute. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Amen? We believe in Jesus. Jesus is coming. Jesus loves you. Before we take a break, let me just say this. Jesus loves you. I believe that. God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe, trust in, rely on, cling to, and stay confident in that profession, that's what believe in the Greek means there. But whoso would believe continuously, trust, rely, cling to him, should not perish. I love the original. Should not. Means you could. Just believe in the right thing. You know, you do something with it. You get up and you walk with him. That's what it's about. Amen. We're going to come back. Now, again, if you've got questions, comments, or, hey, you need prayer. You want to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You want to be forgiven of your sins. You want to be repent and do it publicly right here on the air with us. We'll do it because you know what? That's what it's about. That's why we do what we do. We want people to know Jesus. So I'm Pastor Dean Odell. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to be back in just a minute. Stay with us.
You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
we're back, so hope everyone is still with us out there. We're so glad that you've been with us. Just to let you know a little bit, too, I would love to hear from you. You can email us or you can go to deanodle.org, deanodle.org. You can email us through there or you can go to Facebook. Just look up on Facebook, Dean Odle Ministries, DeanOdle, and let us know you're out there. We definitely would love to pray with you or just to hear from you that you're listening. We had a call a little while ago, I think, from Detroit. But he hit the number. When you call in, you have to press a 1 if you want to talk. You can listen by phone. You don't have to just listen on the computer, but you can listen by phone as well. But if you press 1 while you call in, you will get put in the in the line to be on. So anyway, I'm going to give you another opportunity. Is anybody out there? We've got a few minutes left here. We got about 30 minutes or so, a little over. If anybody has any questions or comments about what we were discussing a minute ago, feel free to call in right now, 347-884-8566. That's 347-884-8566. And you're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle, Fire and Grace Church in Auburn, Opelika area of Alabama. I just got to say this. Of course, me and Kevin are sitting here tonight in our Auburn attire, our Auburn Tigers, War Eagle. We got our own Auburn network working tonight. Hey, there's not too many hobbies we get time for, but we like a good Auburn football game every now and then. But anyway, give us a call if you're out there. And I know I'm waiting on one of my brothers to call in. He still hasn't called in. Billy, if you're out there, man, let us hear from you. But anyway, let's get back to the Word here. Let's just look at where we're going here. We've covered a lot tonight. Tell you the truth, I mean, I'm just like, goodness, where can we go next here? Some people believe, what's that? Oh, yeah, some people believe that, of course they believe they're once saved, always saved, no matter how they live their lives, but that'll be for another day. And just to let you know, we're going to get into, in the days ahead, some programs. We're going to do this every Tuesday night, God willing, but that's the plan right now. So Tuesday night, 8 to 10, we're going to have some guests, guest hosting, guests to interview people and talk to people. And, sometimes I think we just need to get together and, have some people share their testimonies and what God's doing in their lives and what the Lord is speaking. But, I want to kind of switch gears here a little bit and talk a little bit about the economy situation because a lot of people think that, things are going to go on just kind of like they are. We've already seen some repercussions from this issue with Russia and Ukraine, seeing oil prices go up and people stressed out. And of course, I hadn't heard today, but I did hear yesterday the stock market had taken a beating from the trouble going on over there. Really, our stock market runs on fear or faith, pretty much. That's the way it goes because it's all a bunch of fake paper money now. But the Lord has made it very clear that to me and to others, and of course, I'm not ashamed to say that God's called me not just to be a pastor, but also called me originally as a prophet, and I believe those ministries are still in effect for today. I don't take it lightly, but I know the Lord has revealed to me and to others that we're headed toward an economic collapse. And as a matter of fact, I'll just back up and share that in 2008, the Lord, he spoke to me very clearly about and through this dream. And the dream, I'm just going to tell you, the dream that I had was I was coming down like a pasture It was clear I was out in the country. And, of course, now, almost 5 years later, well, it has been 5 years later, I now live out in the country. And that was not planned. It just, the way everything worked out, I didn't manipulate that to happen. It just happened. But in the dream, I'm out in the country, and I'm coming down kind of like a hill, like pasture toward a big white house. And I'm coming down the hill, and as I come down the hill and I walk up the steps into the house, there's about 30 or 40 people in there. There's about 30 or 40 people in there. And I notice, as I walk in, I notice that there's a big foyer. And there's two rooms on each side. You know, some of the old houses, there's like, you know, a living room on one side and a sitting room on the other side. But this is a big open area. You can see all the way down the house, big long hallway. You see these two rooms open, and people were milling about. It was almost like there was a party going on or some kind of church fellowship going on. But I remember seeing, you know, family members and then people I didn't know. But anyway, about 30 or 40 people are milling about, and I look to my left, and there's a little baby cub in this room, little baby bear cub, just sniffing around. And most everybody's attention is focused on that, and they're going, oh, how cute. Look at the little baby bear cub, and oohing and on. And so I happened to just look to my right, and I looked to my right, and there was a huge mama bear. And I knew in the dream immediately that it was mama of this little baby bear, and I knew it. And so I'm looking at this baby bear, and it dawns on me that everyone's between mama bear and baby bear. And I thought, oh, man, if mama bear ever figures out that these people are between her and her cub, she's going to rip this room apart and everybody in it. So there was just kind of a shift in the dream, and I'm pushing everyone. I'm kind of got both arms, and I'm kind of pushing and hurting everyone kind of down this long hallway to a back room. And the moment we get in this back room, I turn around to shut the door, and the mama bear hits the door with full force. And I didn't even get the door fully shut, though. Her paw and claw was coming through, and I'm trying to hold the door. And I was able to hold the door, which that let me know that there was supernatural help in that situation. But I remember waking up, and, you know, not all dreams are from the Lord. Not all dreams are from God. Some of them because you ate too much pizza late at night. And, you know, you got to be careful. But after, you know, years and years of discerning the difference, you kind of know. And I knew it was from the Lord. And he was speaking to me through it. And it was just hounding me the rest of the day. I woke up and just all day long. And so I'm pastoring a church in Washington, D.C., and I get up and I go to work, and I get to the office, and I'm sitting there, and there's a TV in the office, and I turn on Fox News, and I sit down, and I'm not really paying attention to the news, but I'm just doing what I need to do in the computer and looking in the Bible, and all of a sudden, Neil Cavuto comes on, and of course, this was in the midst of the market crashing, the crisis from September of 2008 until February of 2009, when the market was crashing and the housing bubble burst, and Lehman Brothers and Goldman Sachs and all those were going bankrupt, and the biggest bankruptcies in American history. And, you know, the market was just going hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of points every day, crashing. And I remember Neil Cavuto, I wasn't even looking at the TV, and he said the words bear market. And when he said the words bear market, the Lord grabbed my attention and was like, this crash, this crisis, this financial mess of 2008 is baby bear, but mama bear is coming, and there will be no recovery from mama bear. And I knew this was serious, that this was a serious warning of economic collapse coming to the United States. And really, it's going to be global, because they are going to have to change. You got to remember, we can just look at what the Bible says in the end, that we're going to have a different type of money system, a different type of world economy with a chip. It's going to all go digital. Obviously, it's not going to be cash. And, of course, with the dollar, the United States dollar being the world reserve currency, if we're going to get to the end game of Satan in Revelation, then you've got to get something out of the way, and that would be the United States dollar. And that's what they're systematically working to do right now, is to get rid of the dollar. And China's about to do it, and Russia's about to do it. And they have a group called BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, that are getting ready to do away with the dollar as the world reserve currency and create their own. And when they do that, the paper tiger of the U.S. dollar is going to collapse. So we don't even have to have a war or a terrorist attack or anything else. If we have just that happen, a currency war with China and Russia and India and so forth, and we have a currency war, it's over. We're in big trouble. And so we're going to have a collapse of the dollar. And, of course, you know, I saw a video the other day, and this is just a side note, but I saw a video the other day where Obama was talking about in his 2008 campaign how Bush adding $4 trillion to the debt was unpatriotic, was, you know, irresponsible and unpatriotic. And Bush added $4 trillion in 8 years. Now, that's still horrible. Bush started this mess down this road. But Obama's done that, what, $6, $7 trillion in just 5 years. I mean, it's crazy. And he said he was going to stop this. So folks, let's just understand something. The Republican, the Democrat, they're liars. They're all playing for the same team. If they weren't playing for the same team and headed toward the same Luciferian goal at the end of the book of Revelation, if they weren't headed toward that, then something would change. Something would get done up there. Somebody might keep the campaign promise, maybe one, you know, about something. But they don't. They don't keep it about any of it. So to get to this global system, you've got to have the collapse, the financial collapse, and the removal of the United States dollar as the world reserve currency. It has to happen. And China's buying gold, every bit of gold they can get across the world. Russia's maneuvering itself to control the oil and energy of the world. So where does that leave the United States? Not looking good. But God said he would let this happen to any nation who forsook him, who turned their backs on him, who gave up on any type of morality, righteousness. He said it. He would let our enemies come in. Matter of fact, the blessing and curses in Deuteronomy about that God spoke over Israel really applies to any nation. But one of the things he said was that we'll become the, he said, you'll go from being the most blessed nation to become the greatest debtor nation. Oh, that's the United States of America. And listen, right now, what's a wild is back in 2008, the economists and everybody believed, oh, you know, the government's going to bail us out. We're going to fix this. This is just a short-term crisis. It's no big deal. And so what happened was when Bush put in his big bailout and Obama put in the big bailout and then the Fed, they start printing all this money, and money started getting infused back in the system, even though it wasn't backed by anything. It was just printing money. It may be apparent that everything come back to normal for a little while, but, of course, everyone knows that they just put a Band-Aid on a gunshot, right? So economists weren't saying back then, oh, we're going to have a global crash. Well, now all the economists, Jim Rogers, Mark Faber, many, many world-renowned Harvard grads, we're talking guys that have been in the investment and they're not even Christians, are saying there's no way that the United States economy survives. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for the United States? Well, that means something is going to happen, whether it's BRICS and Russia and China and India and them moving away from the dollar and just stop trading in the dollar, or We're going to end up in a war. We're going to be attacked. I mean, we saw what happened just in 2001 when the World Trade Center was attacked. The market just dove. So anything now, everything's so shaky, and everything's so spread so thin, and there's just the money's not there. I mean, they're not even paying our veterans their benefits. I mean, they're trying to weasel out of taking care of our veterans, our wounded veterans even. And this is how sick and twisted. We can give $3 billion to Egypt, but we can't take care of our veterans. America is just messed up in the head. But we are headed toward a financial collapse. And when that happens, everything is going to change in America. Everything. Our way of life is about to change dramatically. And people think, well, it won't happen. It can't happen. It happened here before. We went through the crash of 1929, a depression. I remember my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my great-aunt telling me how they lived through the Great Depression. It wasn't easy. They made it, but it wasn't easy. But, of course, they weren't as dependent upon grocery stores and technology and all the things that we are now so dependent on. It's going to shock our system when this comes down. But the Lord has made it clear through many people. And frankly, most of these economists and even a lot of the prophetic words that are now coming forth is that it may very well be this year that it begins to unravel on us. So what do we do? Well, I'm just going to be very honest with you. If you haven't thought about just some simple preparations, you probably need to think about it. What would you do if your money, you woke up tomorrow morning and the money in your bank account wasn't there? Or the bank wouldn't let you get it out? Or they let you get it out, but it wasn't worth anything anymore. And then you slept a little late. Everybody else that got up early that morning found out and ran to the stores, and the stores emptied out. Now, what would you do if you couldn't go to Walmart or the supermarket for a month or two? What if they were empty? What would you do? You need to think about preparing yourself because things are going to change. And our church is taking that seriously. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are starting to realize that we cannot sustain this problem much longer. But of course, there are people who go, you're crazy. You guys are a bunch of nuts. Right, well, you know, hey, I don't know. I just watch the news and read my Bible, and they tend to say the same thing. Amen. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
end is coming. Seems like the signs are lining up. As far as I can see, we're closer now than ever. This pain won't last forever. Love, love is on his way.
To Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odell, and we welcome you back. Been wondering, where are my callers? Anybody got a question out there? We're going to take the last, say, 17 minutes here we have on the show. I want somebody to call me if you got a question or a comment. Give us a call. We want to test this out anyway. So if you're listening out there and you just want to say, hey, I've learned something tonight, appreciate it, or I don't agree with you on that, or if you want to just say, hey, Pastor, I'm listening to you. Somebody give us a call right now. We're going to test this out, see how it works. I'm waiting. Somebody call 347-884-8566. We're just going to have fun in the last few minutes here and mess around. You can even razz me about being an Auburn Tiger, but I'll just say War Eagle. So, because I am sitting here in my 2010 National Championship hoodie.
Woo-hoo.
All right, come on, somebody give me a call. I want a question before we go tonight. We need to test this this whole system out here before we rock on with it. 347-884-8566. 347-884-8566. Just so you know, while we're waiting on a caller here, listen, we have a couple of books. There's a free book on deanodell.org. If you go to the latest word page, you can download a free book, PDF book, on the tongues of fire about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and get the tongues and answer the question if that's for today and what that's all about. And then, of course, if you haven't got a copy, I only say this because, you know, you can get an ebook copy, you can get it cheap. I've given away far more of these books than I've sold. I'm not trying to make money off of them. But there's a lot of truth here, and I know the Lord told me to write this book, but I wrote the book, The Polluted Church, From Rome to Kansas City. This deals with, there's some end time stuff in it, but that really wasn't the main purpose of the book. The main purpose was to show how that New Age and Buddhist, Hindu, occult, pagan techniques have crept into the church. And I go back and show how those prayer techniques, some call it contemplative prayer, some call it centering prayer, but the prayer that uses vain repetition, that uses visualization to visualize pictures, and how that was deeply embedded or finds its origins in Buddhism and Hinduism, picked up by the New Age, but mainly by the Roman Catholic Church, and then how it's filtered over now into many churches and even powerful, big prophetic movements out there. Anyway, so the book, The Polluted Church, From Rome to Kansas City, if you want a paperback copy, you have to go to our website and get that. You can get it through, it's on every ebook format. Anyway, but listen, we have a caller. We're going to take this caller right here. We're see what they got here. Okay, you're on Prophecy Quake.
Hey, Pastor Dean.
Are you
this
there?
Is Andrea. Yeah,
hey
Pastor
Andrea.
Dean.
How you
this
doing?
Is Andrea. Good. I figured I'd give you some help.
Oh, that's good. We wanted to test it out and see if I could hear you good, and see if you can you hear me well.
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Okay.
So why are you called Prophecy Quake? I do have a question.
Prophecy Quake. Well, you know, an earthquake shakes things up, right? And
uh-huh.
I believe that Bible prophecy, and when you really see it and understand it and realize, what's going on and what's about to happen, that it'll shake up all kinds of things out there. So I don't know. I felt the Lord just drop it in me, so I'm having fun with it. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Y'all having fun tonight?
Oh yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We, of course, you know, we're first broadcast. We're learning a lot here how this works. But hey, I did radio, just so you know, and for those listening, you know, I worked for a Christian radio station back in the late '80s and early '90s. I worked for one for 2 years, so I was a DJ live on the air for 5 hours a day. 5 days a week, and then of course I did a live radio program in Montgomery for a long time, and then of course did a lot of spots. So I love to do radio. So to me it's a lot of fun, but I'm rusty. So
no, I think you'll sound great.
Well, thank you. Thanks for calling.
I mean, it sounds like you had some guests coming in now.
We have somebody else calling here. I think we're working on the screening process and how that works. So we're doing a little experiment here with that.
Well, fantastic!
Anyway,
I can't wait to hear the next caller is.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling. Right. We'll talk to you later. Right,
see you later. Bye bye.
Okay, we got Erica from Cincinnati, Ohio. Sister Erica, what's going on?
I'm your Facebook friend, one of them.
Yes, I knew who you were.
Okay. Well, what I was wondering is the people who are coordinating the attack of what's going on in Russia, is it coordinated with what's about to happen in the United States with the concentration camps and, you know, the guillotines and stuff, or is it two separate things that are happening, even though Satan's behind both of them?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, and I'm just, all I can give you on this is my opinion.
Okay.
Because we don't know for sure, but we have a little hint, I think, because if you remember, right before the 2012 election, Obama was sitting with then, what was his name, Dmitry Medved, who was the president of Russia at the time, and of course, Putin was the prime minister. And there was a mic they didn't realize was on. They thought they were off the air. And Obama leans over and basically says to Medved or whatever his name was, that, you know, that after the election he would have more flexibility. I tend to believe these guys are playing us in the press, that I believe there is an overall plan, and that these guys know they're following Satan and they know the overall plan. Of course, that doesn't mean that even within, say, even if they're coordinated, that doesn't mean that they always get along or that they don't have their own selfish desires to have a certain slice of the pie. But
right.
I do believe Putin. I do believe Obama. I believe I believe a lot of these guys, they are working in concert together to bring us about to the end. And here's the reason why. Psalm 2. Psalm 2 says very plainly that the rulers of the earth and the kings would conspire together against the Lord and against his anointed or his Messiah. So I believe
right.
there's an end-time conspiracy. You know, again, there are, you know, people talk about conspiracy theories. But it's conspiracy fact that they're doing it.
Yeah, because I was thinking it might work how, like, the organization works. Like, the people at the top really know what's going on, but even as high as up as Putin and Obama are, there could be people, like, way above them pulling the strings, and they know some, but not all, you know, of what's going to happen.
Yeah, I believe there are people above them that – you know, we know that there's the Illuminati family in Europe, and we know that, of course, that the Vatican and particularly the Jesuits wield great power over the world more than most people have any comprehension. I think the Jesuits make the KGB and the CIA look like little kindergartners, but That's just me. But, so, yeah, there's powerful forces moving everywhere. But the Bible, you know, the Bible in Daniel 7 and then, of course, in Revelation 17 talks about the 10 kings will come together finally and have one mind. And mean one purpose, and they'll give their power and their strength to the beast, which will be this world government and this world religion. So they're going to give their power and strength over. So I see very clearly, and it's my opinion, that Obama is one of those 10 kings, and that Tony Blair more than likely is another one, and Putin may be one. And it says, what's interesting in the book of Daniel says, that those 10 kings, that three of them will be subdued out of the 10. And I think America, Obama, and America is one that will be subdued. The word subdued there in the Hebrew means it'll be crippled or hamstrung. So there's three of the 10 kings who actually come together to help form the world government and give their strength to the beast. That actually when the beast comes up, when the Antichrist and the world government comes up, he will subdue or cripple them. So as we move on over into the tribulation in the last 7 years, and as the Antichrist rises to power, I think we're going to see the fall of three great nations.
We're already crippled. We don't grow enough of our own food. We don't have any factories anymore. The water supply, I mean, they've got everything locked down.
You're right. It's not good, and that's what I'm saying. The American people are in for a tremendous shock, and I know this from insiders in DHS and people that have personally helped build the FEMA camps and delivered the guillotines and to bases, military bases, and everything. There's people out there that laugh it off and they think it's all fiction, and soon they're going to be staring them right in the face. So,
wow.
Anyway.
Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Oh, anytime, Erica. Good to talk with you.
All right, God bless.
God bless bye-bye. You. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right, we got 5 minutes, so if anybody out there wants to call, we got just 5 minutes. Enjoyed those phone calls. We'll have to do more of that next time. Anyway, just to give you a little more information, please, if you're not with us on Facebook, I update a lot of things on Facebook, so go to Facebook and search Dean Odle Ministries, and that's O-D-L-E, Dean like the Dean of the School, Odle, O-D-L-E, and like the page and comment. And if you come across information, you come across an article you think I hadn't seen, I can learn from anybody, so pass it on. Also, you can go to our website, Dean Odle, D-E-A-N-O-D-L-E, DeanOdle.org, and we have a lot of the articles on the Last Word. We've got the books on there. So you can check out the books. The other book I wrote back in 1998 was Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival. So that's another book you can get. We don't have that one on ebook, but we can get you a copy, a paperback copy, if you want it. But anyway, hey, we love Jesus, and we're going to do our best to get the gospel. Also, search for us on iTunes. We have most of our Sunday morning messages, not just from me, but from other preachers and ministers that are in our church, my wife, Nancy, included. She's got some sermons on there. Kevin Wilkinson, Billy Painter, Franklin Mayfield, the founder and director of True God TV. He preached a message in our church not too long ago. Of course, Paul Frick, also another one of our elders, one of his messages is on there. Anyway, but we have free audio messages on iTunes, a lot of free. Of course, our articles and stuff are free. So, anyway, if you want info, and don't let me forget this, but look us up. We've got videos on YouTube. We have a couple of videos from our 2012 End Times Revealed Bible Prophecy Conference. We've got the entire one, the Antichrist Revealed. And if you want more details about what I some of the stuff I shared tonight about the seals and the trumpets. We've got the seals and the trumpets on there and the Antichrist revealed. And so check us out on YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast. Shoot us emails, Facebook us. We love to hear from people out there. And, you know, again, this is we do it because we know people are being encouraged. People are email me all the time, even from all over the world. I get phone calls and emails from all over the place. And I don't know what it is, but the Australians and the Irish love us. We get a lot of hits, and too, Britain and Africa. So I tell you what I'm amazed in is that we have a lot of hits from Muslim countries, Jordan, Oman, Yemen, Saudi Arabia. People are hungering for the truth. I've had Iran, Iraq, Syria. It's just been amazing, the people that we've been in touch with. So anyway, let us know you're out there, and we've enjoyed being with you. I hope you enjoyed and learned something. And we are going to go on out of here on that note. Y'all have a blessed night, and get ready for Jesus to return.
You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.